Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Stephanie London. From the accent, you can probably tell I'm from Australia, but I actually live in Toronto, Canada these days. I've been here for about 7 years now, and I really love it, even the snow. I do love the snow. And I'm a contemporary romance and romantic comedy author, USA Today bestseller, and a video game nerd. That's me in a nutshell.
I love this. So what kind of video games do you play?
My favorite franchise is Resident Evil. I like the like gory zombie stuff. They just had a new one come out, so we're like very excited in this house.
I love this. And how is Toronto doing with the shutdown? Is it still a shutdown or is it?
We've had pretty severe lockdowns. Basically, we've been in some kind of lockdown since October. And so that's been really tough. It's also been tough, obviously, because my family is back home in Australia. So we had to like cancel a trip home, and it's been difficult not being able to see my parents. But yeah, you know, we're getting there though. Things are definitely improving. Case numbers are going down. So we're hopeful that we're on the up and up.
Hopefully, yeah, and vaccinations are starting to roll out, so which is exciting.
Yes, that happened very quickly. Like all of a sudden, it was stuff was moving, so we're extremely grateful for that.
Yeah. All right. So let's chat about your romance journey. Were you always a romance reader, or your writing came first? Which one came first?
So I had that phase of like sneaking Jackie Collins books off my mum's bookshelf, like probably when I was definitely too young to be reading those kind of books. But I've actually been a mystery reader most of my life. And when I decided that I wanted to start writing, I was trying to figure out like, what do I want to write? And it was actually my little sister that suggested romance to me, because she's like, it's stories about people and you love people, you know people, it's your interest. I'm a bit of a frustrated psychologist, so I like thinking about why people behave the way they do and how certain people end up together. And so actually like really investigating the genre came through my writing process, and so now I am both a fan and a writer, and that kind of developed at the same time.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And how long have you been writing?
I started writing, I mean, I kind of in some form I've been writing my whole life. Yeah. I was that kid that used to write and illustrate their own books. but like writing for publication started in sort of late 2012, and then I've been published since 2014.
Oh my gosh. So you were in the second wave of romance where all these like authors are like, you know, came about, which is, it's been amazing just to watch authors like grow like over the years, you know. So, how is the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder, you know?
That's a funny question, because it's both been more difficult and not as difficult, if that makes sense. So I think for me, I'm the kind of person that I love working. I love my job. And actually being able to write was like almost a way to escape some of the stuff that was happening in the pandemic. Is like writing is my safe space. But at the same time, when you're, you know, stressed, I'm asthmatic, so I was extremely worried about getting COVID. I was worried about my parents because they have some health issues. Trying to write deeply emotional books when you're expending so much emotion every day yourself was really tough. And I had a patch where I felt like I sat down every day and the words just weren't coming the way that they normally would. And that was really hard for me because it was, you know, what I wanted to be doing with my time. So yeah, it's funny. It was both a reprieve, but also a great challenge at the same time.
And so what kind of self-care do you do that just keeps you sane? You know, like you can be writing, it can be reading, it can be something else. It can be completely something boring, you know?
Yeah, playing video games with my husband is like one way that we like to chill out together and just kind of completely switch off. I'm also a real, like, I'm a learner. I love learning about things. So any kind of podcast or documentary that like engages me is a really great way for me to kind of switch off my brain. And I'm also a knitter. I find that keeping my hands busy really helps to quiet my brain down if I'm super stressed. So those would be my like go-to things.
So what kind of things have you knit? Like, have you knit like a scarf or like what kind of projects?
Oh, look, I knit a lot. I knit like every day. Socks and jumpers and hats and shawls and little kid things for my friends with kids.
Oh, this is so exciting. I love this. So let's chat about Forward Charge now. What is the elevator pitch?
So this book is about an Australian man who's in the US on the search for the father that he never knew that he had. And in a bit of a twist, he has a celebrity doppelganger. So I watched a documentary about strangers who look really similar. And I like got that idea in my head that I wanted to write about that in a book. So I have made this book be about a hero who looks exactly like Chris Hemsworth, but to the point where people kind of harass him in the street. And so he has no privacy. And so he's trying to go around on the search for this father, and people are stopping him, asking him for autographs. And it's a bit of shenanigans, but at the heart of it, it's a story about family.
I love this. And so, like, what do you hope our readers to get out from this story? You know, what's the hope?
I think that, like, if there's like one message that I would hope people take away from this book, it's that it's never too late to start over. So both of the characters in this book have had pieces of information that have sort of like destroyed the way they view the world and themselves. And this story is really about them coming together and trying to like pick up the pieces of their lives and figure out who they want to be as a person going forward. And so I think that if readers pick up this book, I hope that if there's anything that they're struggling with in their life, that they will think to themselves that like, yeah, it's never too late. I can start over right now and be the person that I want to be.
Mm-hmm. I love this. I love this message because I think it's never too late, especially now. Like, we've gone through so much over the past year. Like, you can start now, you know? Like,
yeah, you know, the pandemic has given us a lot of perspective on the world and on our lives. And it's like, if you had a dream that you're too scared to chase, like, now is the time, today, right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get it started. Like, it's like nothing, the worst thing can happen is that you're going to fail, but you're going to fail if you don't do anything. So you might as well just do it and fail 100 times because it's actually going to get you to where you need to go.
Yeah, totally agree.
So what is your favorite trope to read and favorite trope to write?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it would be opposites attract, just because I love the friction of two people who are really different and have different views about things. I just think that creates a delicious tension, but like very, very close to that would be Fake Relationship, which is what this book is, those two. And I love them, especially when they go together. That's like my perfect romance catnip.
I love this. And you happen to write some category romance. So what is the difference between writing category romance to a regular, you know, non-category romance, you know?
Yeah.
Any constructions that you like realize like, okay, this is like what I have to do for this type of romance as opposed to your other work that's more, you may have some more freedom.
Yeah, they are quite different. Like, one of the biggest things is that the word count is often quite different. So in a category romance, they're generally about 50,000 words. And then books like Forever Starts Now are 90,000. So almost double the length. And the structure of a story really changes when you add that many more words or take the words away. And so kind of the biggest difference really in keeping with the word count is that category romances are really tightly focused on the couple. So everything on the page has to be about driving that romance towards a satisfying and believable conclusion. Whereas when you have a longer story, you tend to have more subplots. You have a bit more development of like the character's family and their world. Mm-hmm. You get a bit more of a zoomed out kind of view of the romance. And so I love them both because they both provide a different kind of challenge from each other in terms of writing and a different experience for readers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I think it's, I don't see, and it's true, like category romance, you don't see the subplot, you don't see the family. You may see a side character who happens to get another book, but it may be a completely standalone story that there's no Easter eggs or cameos because you're expected to just like read this book in like an afternoon, you know, and just like,
absolutely. it's like that instant gratification kind of read, as opposed to like a longer book that has a bit more of that like world building into it. But like, I love a category book. If I can start and finish it in one afternoon, like that's a great thing to do. Whereas sometimes you want something with a little bit more meat on the bones.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love this. So what are you working next?
I'm juggling a lot of things at the moment, like always. I'm actually launching a big series into print next year, which is called Pause in the City. And the first book is called The Dachshund Wears Prada. Oh, sorry, I think you guys say dachshund over this side of the world. We say dachshund in Australia, but The Dachshund Wears Prada. And it's basically a kind of a twist on The Devil Wears Prada, except if Miranda Priestly was a dog.
Oh my gosh, I need to have this. I had a Dachshund growing up, so I need to read this book.
Oh, they're my favorite dog. They're so cute.
They're so cute. They're a little neurotic, I have to say, yeah. but they're so cute. They're like little long dogs. They're tiny and stuff.
Yeah, and they've got such big personalities, which is why I love writing dogs into my books. And yeah. I've always wanted to write a Dachshund because I love their like big personalities.
They do have a big personality, even though they have a small body and small legs and tiny legs. That's awesome. So what has been a book that you can't stop reading, you can't stop watching about, and it can be any type of genre, does not need to be romance?
Oh, I will give you a romance suggestion. I was very lucky to get an early copy of The Road to Rose Bend by Naomi Simone. And she, I mean, that girl knows how to write a book. She's fabulous. It is angsty and romantic, and it's small town, it's diverse, it's like basically the perfect book, and I've been telling everyone to go and read it. And it's the start of a new series as well, so there's I think another book coming out later this year, but it was like one of the best romance novels I've ever read. It was fabulous.
I love this. And you're the second person this week who has recommended this book. So I love that she's getting all the praise. She's like, you people need to read this book.
So, oh, it's so good.
Love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
So my website is www.stephanie-london.com, and that's Stephanie with an F because my parents wanted to make my life difficult. So always spelt with an F. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook under Stephanie London as well. And I have a newsletter sign up on my website where you can get a free book. So that's probably the best place to start.
I love this. Thank you, Stephanie, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.